You found us. Welcome to the Hullminster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
So the reading you just heard was, I mean, as I was preparing this, I began, you know, I think I was looking about Acts 9, and then just kept reading Acts 10, Acts 11, and we could have read most of Acts 10 and 11, certainly, for the whole of the reading, but I just want to give you a snippet there of what's going on. So just to give a bit of context to that reading, that passage that we've heard, Peter is called to go to this house of a Gentile, who is, we've heard, is a Roman centurion, to tell him about God's grace revealed in Jesus. But to go there, to go to his house, was to sort of leave behind the Old Testament commandments and to go beyond what was almost principle at the time, because it was all about cleanliness in terms of clean and unclean foods or separation between persons. And that's the context of the Old Testament. So what was really being challenged there was quite a big revelation in the New Testament, as we read the book of Acts of the early church. In this series of experiences between these two guys, Cornelius is praying to God, and he hears a vision, doesn't he? He hears that vision, and as we read, there was an answer to those prayers. Peter also received that vision. But his was a bit of a puzzling vision from God until you unpack the rest of chapter 10 and chapter 11. Because there was a huge, huge challenge going on in terms of the unclean and the clean, the two that just never mixed, and the Gentiles and the Jews. But both Cornelius and Peter follow their prompts, they follow their visions. And this is why I've started this passage, because they heard God. They felt, in Peter's case, the addition of being prompted by the Spirit of God. The two men had heard God. They'd come together. Peter understands that God has decided to end the separation of clean and unclean. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and his whole household and his family confirms Peter's first interpretations that he'd heard from God. And it leads on to the whole family being baptized and this great friendship and neighborly love that we hear later on in the passage between the two of them. That God is working something new. And I just wanted to start with that passage. And during tonight's talk, we're going to refer back to points of what God's been doing in the two of their lives and how actually he's spoken through visions. He speaks to us in words, in pictures, in all sorts of different ways. But the foundations for hearing from God is even more, arguably, even more simple than that. I don't want to make it something that it's not. Perhaps hearing from God is actually more holy when it's not a holy moment. This idea that if we just begin to hear from God, tune into God and walk with God, that's arguably more holy than just waiting for a particular moment where we're going to have this big revelation from God. Yes, there'll be times where God does speak to us with a particular vision, particular word, maybe a particular revelation. But that comes from a place of journeying day in, day out with God, just speaking with him. I think there's something simple but really quite profound about that. And as I've been reading around this and read other commentaries, and people just coming to similar conclusions, actually, it just starts with us saying yes to Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you've said yes, then you've heard God. You've heard him speak to you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've heard him. I think there are four particular areas that we can unpack when it comes to exploring what it means to hear God in our daily lives. And I think God has given us the Holy Spirit to bring about clarity, to break down the confusion that a lot of people have when it comes to faith and going deeper in faith. And actually, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. He's offering instruction sometimes, a new way of living, a new guidance. So whilst I'm going to explore some of the ways that we can seek to tune in and hear God's sort of Holy Spirit, there's just that one qualification needed, that one thing. Do you believe and trust in him? If you're practicing, living Christian, if you're living that faith out, then you are hearing God in your life. So the first thing to explore, I think, is what it means to learn to listen and obey God. This thing of obedience is really, really hard for many of us. I certainly have struggled at times what it means to be an obedient Christian. What does it mean to actually live that out in practice? And as we seek to grow in hearing from God in our life as a church family, and as we're exploring to go deeper in the power of the Holy Spirit together, there will be particular circumstances, particular situations where we will hear God's voice. And yet, often we just need to recognize that it's a still, small voice who's ever present. It's not always a huge revelation. As I've already said, there's this sense that sometimes we just ignore what God might be doing because it might be something really, really simple. Sometimes our human reasoning, our selfish desire, our plan is over here. And actually God's saying, well, maybe we just need to realign our focus and walk this way with me. As faithful Christians, one of the challenges to us, I think, is to learn to listen and then obey his leading. Sometimes we'll sort of say, oh, we've heard from God, but we're still going to lead the way. And we hear in the passage that Peter and Cornelius, they both had the habit of prayer together. Just as God spoke clearly to Cornelius in the passage, he also speaks clearly to us through the power of his Spirit. And yet I think I'm probably one of the first people to try and admit that I sometimes bail out in those moments. There are many, many times where actually maybe it has been God prompting me and I've just chosen to walk that other way. I've come up with an excuse. I've decided that my plan's more important, or I've told God, actually, I'm a bit too busy for your plan today. But when we're prompted and when we're obedient, it often leads to a time of maybe prayer with other people. Some of the most amazing opportunities is just when you're in a conversation with someone and you're maybe feeling God prompting you just to pray into that situation, even if it's not allowed, just to be praying for that person and letting God lead that conversation. I know last year when we were at the men's weekend away, I had three different conversations with three different people who all were giving the same message from God. Really, the still small voice of God was speaking through all three of them. And it was by the time the third person had challenged me and said something, I felt actually that maybe God really was speaking and I needed to listen. I just want to share a little bit of testimony of encouragement of one of the times when I did hear God, and actually I was with Becky, the two of us felt we did hear God, and what happened. Because I think there's just, one of the things we can do is encourage each other on the times when God has been at work. We were in France, and we were there for a friend's wedding, actually, in France. And we'd been down at the beach on one of the days, you know, these sort of weddings where it's a five-day event just for an hour and a half wedding, but it's an excuse for a long holiday, basically. And we were down at the beach and enjoying ourselves, and time was running away with itself. And there was a final bus home. And Bex, as the two of us were walking to the bus stop, she felt God say the word Paul. She heard the word Paul in her head, and she saw these guys who were sat outside McDonald's, and she said, oh, maybe we need to go and speak to these guys. And we just sort of tried to ignore the prompt, if I'm really, really honest. We just ignored that, and we got on the bus. So we got on this bus, and we presented our tickets to the guy, and he said, no, not valid. The tickets were rejected. And we were asked to get off at the next stop. And this is the last bus home in France. Anyway, so we get off the bus at the next stop. Not quite sure. We did have friends staying nearby, so there was a sort of plan B eventually of how we could get home. But we decided to be obedient at that point. We thought, well, if God's maybe prompted us, maybe even God's using this bus ticket, let's get off the bus. So we got off the bus. We walked back to McDonald's. And I said, Becky, you know, we're English. We don't speak French and whatever, you know. The guys looked a little bit rough, if I'm honest. You know, I didn't know what, you know, we we didn't know their backstory, so we went over and spoke to them. And one of the guys was that felt like he said, I think it's him, you know, was called Paulo, P-A-U-L-O, I think it was. So it was a bit like Paul, but different. And he was actually Italian. And we got chatting in sort of broken English. Anyway, his broken English was better than our broken Italian. Very long story short, he pulled up this letter, and it was all about a big hospital appointment. He'd waited 2 years, and next week he was having this big hospital operation, and he was terrified. But he was like twice the size of me, and he was just sort of, you know, he was quite a rough guy, and it was like, well, what do we do now, God? And this guy's sort of beginning to open up. I'm anxious, I'm upset, I'm nervous, and da-da-da-da-da. And we said, well, we looked at each other and we sort of said, we're going to have to pray for this guy in our broken English. And meanwhile, his mates were beginning to gather around, and there was sort of five or six of them, and it was all a bit, I was, oh, should we just wander on? You know, we've said hello, should we? You know, I just really was struggling with this moment. And then these bouncers came over from the sort of bar next door and said, and they said, are you okay? Are you, you know, they thought these guys were sort of threatening us. Anyway, they weren't. And it was an amazing moment, and we felt that God was very present with us. We prayed a simple prayer for healing and strength in that guy's situation, and we contacted a friend, and we got a lift home. We don't know to this day what happened. I don't know whether that guy was healed that moment. I don't know whether whether he went to the operation and it's gone well, or whether it went terribly. I honestly don't know. But the two of us, at different points in that afternoon, mainly Becky, to be honest, I think, was prompting me to say, let's just stay. We felt the conviction of God that we needed to be obedient in that moment. And we just trust, don't we, as Christians, that God is at work in that. That there's nothing wrong with praying for someone, that hopefully good has come from that. And the guy seemed incredibly peaceful as we left. That was the encouragement we could take away. I think as we grow in faith, that was one of the big moments for the two of us, that we'd stepped out of that point. It can't be that hard in everyday life. You know, that was a particular extreme moment where we felt prompted to step out. And as I've not got this sorted at all. I really struggle. And as I did that day of being the one to step out. But the more I've done it, the last 5 or 6 years since that day, the more God has just quietly used me and begun to minister to other people. And I think it all comes back to that word obedience. I've not always got it right. And sometimes there was someone who I generally find, when you ask, do you want some prayer to someone? They say, yeah, why not? That's quite a nice idea. But this one person was really blunt. No, you know. And I thought, oh no, you know, God, maybe it's the wrong person. But I just walked away. They went their separate way. And that was it, you know. And no harm came from that. The important part is we were desiring to hear God. And it's really exciting. When we begin to step out, it's really adventurous. On a much smaller scale, this morning, I was leading the 9:30, and after the service, I felt God say, go and speak to so-and-so. So I went and spoke to them, and I said, do you want a bit of prayer for, you know, I didn't know what, but and they, oh, I'd love some prayer. Great. We sat down, had a quiet moment, the two of us. I put a hand on her shoulder. We said a really simple prayer and asked for the Holy Spirit to come on her. And there was stuff going on in her life, and God just rested and was present. It's just stepping out sometimes. When we hear God, when we get that nudge from the Holy Spirit, sometimes that prompt is a moment where we can say, you know what, I'm going to go for it. Because discernment isn't actually that complicated. I think what's more complicated is learning to listen. We can begin to discern that God's at work, but are we willing to listen? Are we willing to step out? The second thing, which I think really relates to this theme of hearing from God, and I think it's something which we could just spend a moment exploring, is what it means to allow ourselves to be guided by God's Holy Spirit, to be guided, almost our inner peace to be stirred up in situations. Sometimes I think fear is incredibly powerful. Fear stops us, it prevents us from sensing when actually the Holy Spirit's voice is speaking. in a particular situation, maybe we begin to argue, and often the easier thing to do is say, you know what, I'm going to go this way. But sometimes that when you begin to enter into a situation of, and I'm talking a lot about prayer ministry tonight, that was never the intention, it was more about hearing from God. But I think when you begin to pray with people, we begin to have a sense of peace that actually God wants us in that moment just to be still, just to be joining with somebody else in that moment of prayer. And there's that sense of peace that rests within us. I think my challenge maybe is that our longing to see God move has to be greater than our fear of failure, than our fear of, well, what happens if God doesn't turn up? What happens if we don't see God moving in a situation? And inner peace, I think, is something which we can all experience. I think people often talk about Hull Minster, this beautiful building. It's a peaceful place. I like going to Hull Minster. It's a lovely, peaceful place. They're often not Christians, and often not practicing Christians, but there's something peaceful about this place. And I find that really interesting because I think as Christians, as we actually live the faith out, we begin to hear the gentle whisper, the still small voice, that voice of God, not just here in Hull Minster, which is quite peaceful, or maybe it's a bit, I don't know, there's something nice about the building. We know as Christians it's so much deeper than just a nice building. It's a faith that sustains us. In the midst of activity, we can all hear God. That's something I think we can all grow in this week. I wonder what you're doing tomorrow. And to have a think, what is the one thing that comes to mind when I say, what are you doing tomorrow? What would it look like tomorrow if you're seeking to hear God's voice in the midst of that situation? Imagine being guided by God's inner peace. Whatever you're doing tomorrow, it might be something really, really simple, really practical. Somebody once said that, somebody once said that he doesn't normally pray for more than half an hour, but every half an hour he tries to pray. And I like that because I certainly would. I don't spend more than half an hour in prayer very often. But I do tend to find that when I spend points in the day just saying, God, where do you want me? Who are you guiding me to? Who in this situation? What could I be doing? Just when you're asking God, just in a conversational way, he'll just speak every half an hour. Just turn to him. I often find that I pray in my head. I try and pray in the midst of meetings or even in the shower, wherever. But this theme of hearing God is actually not just about praying, not just about asking or demanding, but as we were talking earlier, actually, before the service, it's about listening as well, isn't it? There's something really significant about listening, not just hearing. Listening really, I think there's a struggle there because you're having to try and discern what is God saying, not just what do I want him to say, or here's my list of prayers, God, but what are you saying? In the passage, we heard that God spoke both individually and personally to Peter, that it was obedience that drove him. Sometimes I think we can forget that prayer is both personal and individual, but it's also relational. It's two-way. It's not about our agenda at all. Actually, when we come before God, it's about responding to his agenda. It's responding to his will, his gentle whisper. If I say the word meditation, you've probably all heard it discussed. You've probably got friends or family that have talked about meditation. It's a bit of a buzzword, particularly in culture. I think there's a sense that meditation is something freeing. And if we're not careful, meditation can become about emptying ourselves, becoming filled with, almost just sort of becoming completely empty. So we're not thinking of anything. We're completely free. But I think when it comes to sort of meditating on the word of God and meditating in prayer, we sort of empty ourselves of some of the baggage we're carrying. But the significant thing, I think, when it comes to hearing from God is it's not about being filled with, not about nothingness. It's about a focus on the Holy Spirit, on his love. There was an example in one of the I think it was a video I watched this week that talked about a man who was an incredibly busy man. Reminded me a little bit of myself when I'm sort of just, I'm over here, then I'm over there, and I'm just trying to do a lot. And he'd lost his watch in the middle of a big hay barrel. And it was a big barn. He'd lost his watch. And he went inside into this farmyard and sat on the table and he chat with his family and sort of said, I've lost my watch. And his son said, oh, your expensive watch. Let me go and find it. You won't find it. It's like a needle in a haystack. You will not find this watch. So this son apparently goes into the barn and lays down on a hay barrel. And after a while, in the middle of nowhere, he can begin to hear his heart beating. And after a while later, he can begin to hear a clock ticking, a watch ticking. And then a while later, he can then hear which direction. He can begin to sense, and as he's in silence, where the watch is ticking from, where within the barn. Now, it's just a silly example, but it's this idea that actually sometimes we have to empty ourselves to then be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to put ourselves in a place of silence and stillness in a culture that doesn't do stillness and certainly doesn't do silence to really locate his spirit, to really work at what his spirit is nudging us to do. So it's important to remember that we need to reject fear as we listen to the Holy Spirit. But also we sort of follow and we believe in a creative God. And we believe in a God who is faithful to us. And I think one of the ways in which God is creative, and we see that in our world around us, is that his way, his answer, his direction is not always the same as our way, our direction, and the answers that we always want to hear. The still small voice isn't always as simple as we want it to be. So we're invited, as we hear God, as we seek his voice, as we seek his presence, to actually look for his signal, to look for the prompts in our world, in our sort of personal journey with God. So remember, it might be a sign, it might be a person, it might be a picture. God will use any number of ways to speak to us, but it won't always be the exact plan that we've mapped out. So thirdly, let's ask ourselves, who are you relying on? Who are you relying on? What's your motivation for hearing from God? As we choose, if we want to opt in to eagerly desire the work of the Spirit in our lives, as we grow in this sort of desire to hear from God, we have to question where our motive lies. Are we seeking more of his presence? Are we choosing to step out and serve? Or are we doing it selfishly? Are we seeking to love and lead others to Christ? Or are we doing it selfishly? Are we looking inwardly? Is it just for our own benefit? Are we remembering the greater picture? One of the challenges I've probably actually found since I've lived in Hull the last 5 or 6 years, that God works in so many different ways. You know, I've grown up probably quite naively in church and in a Christian family, actually a very supportive, loving family. And then I landed in Hull on my own. And that was a bit of an awakening. People like Ken on the back row taking me to the Whalebone. Wow, eye-opener. Those sort of pubs. You know, the earthiness. I love it now. But there was a little sense of me thinking, this isn't quite as comfortable as I want it. I want to do things my way. Is it going to really benefit me? And actually, I've learned so much from other people that having a relationship with God is partly, it's definitely two-way with God, but it's also two-way with that community around us. We'll gather next week, and a number of us from complete different walks of life for this weekend away. And yet, that's really inspiring. It's encouraging to learn from other people. As we share good news with others, as we begin to step out in faith, allow yourself to be challenged and shaped by the way that others approach the Christian faith. Because it's different to you, but allow God to do things differently. Because I really do believe he calls all of us to that abundant life. Not just that sort of, those of us, that the holy huddle or whatever it's called. So I've concluded in my life, I think I'm a bit of a, someone who wants to share the good news. I'm a bit, maybe evangelist, someone who sort of wants, who finds myself wanting to talk to people about Christ. And the reason I say that is I wonder what you find yourself being. What sort of a Christian are you? What sort of calling is God putting on your life? And everywhere I go, I find myself sort of trying to naturally bring up the theme of Christianity and the good news of Jesus. Yeah, I can be on my day off and just trying to have a quiet drink with Becky somewhere, and I'm chatting to the barman or whatever barmaid about Jesus. I'm just longing to chat to my neighbours about faith. What sort of person are you when it comes to Christian faith? What particular gifts? Because I believe God's giving us all gifts. One of the things, when we hear God, we hear the gifts that he's given us. And he invites us to respond positively. If others are maybe listening or struggling to hear that, sometimes when we pray with other people, they'll see a gift or they'll just remind you actually of what God is doing in your life. I think it's often so much easier to hear that from someone else than to see that yourself. I've certainly had to be careful that, you know, we've heard it a lot of times in this series, and Paul reminds us in this letter to the Corinthian church that the Holy Spirit only works to strengthen, encourage, and comfort us. And in my sort of longing for people to know Jesus, to accept Jesus, I find myself having to remind myself that actually everyone's on that journey. We're all at different points in this journey of faith. Let's not judge each other, but let's stand alongside, encourage and comfort people. Invite them to know the living God. Invite them to hear what it means to know Jesus. So when I talk about questioning your sort of motive to hearing God, it's about remembering to approach God, knowing that actually you're called to serve him with everything you have. We're called to love him with everything that we are. Not just to go our own selfish ways or our own selfish. I'm sure most of you got that sorted, but I just think it's important to share that. Hearing from God might actually mean asking him in prayer to lead you to others. Perhaps someone in your family, perhaps someone in your workplace, perhaps people who are just questioning what it means to know God. Who are you influencing? You'll be influencing people, particularly when you're inviting the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to comfort others. And as we listen to what God is calling us to, just remember that the discernment doesn't need to be all complicated, because our focus should be learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. And in practicing that, we'll begin to recognize his voice more clearly. The more we practice that, the easier it can become. So finally, one of the big, big challenges facing us, I think, in our faith is that sort of doubting part. Can God really speak to me? It's all well and good that he'll speak to Eve, you know, and to Eve, you know, I've called you to this amazing new job, but well, Eve's in leadership, you know, whatever. Or it's all well and good that he's speaking to so-and-so because such and such is happening in their life, but God doesn't want to speak to me. The first thing to say, and I really do believe this, is that the Lord loves using broken people. He loves people who he can lean on and who lean into him. If you're someone who's willing to walk with a bit of a limp, who recognizes actually you haven't got everything sorted, he's willing and longing to use you. We hear messages in the world around us. Marketing, media, the world telling us that that we're in some sort of battle. You know, there is this sort of sense of spiritual battle, isn't there? There's good and evil. And often that's sort of underplayed and it's almost joked about, you know, the image of the devil or whatever you might imagine with the horns. And yet I think it's important as we conclude tonight to remember that we do hear things in our life that are both from God, but also the works of the enemy. God chooses to speak to you, but the enemy's also at work. It's really important to test what you hear when you're hearing from God. I was reading in this book, it referenced Beth Owls, who says this about hearing from God. Drawing near to the Lord opens the door for him to fellowship and communication with you. The Lord speaks to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. But one test to determine whether you're hearing the Holy Spirit is to ask this. Is the voice gently leading, or is it commanding and harsh? God's voice will gently guide you. God's voice will gently encourage you. It gives hope. God leads, Satan drives. God convicts, Satan condemns and brings guilt. God woos, Satan tugs hard. When God speaks, he does not fear to motivate. If fear overcomes you, it is the enemy speaking, not God. So to sum up, hearing from God is just about walking with him, going through day-to-day life, simple prayers, asking God to be with you, to be guiding you. Try and make the Holy Spirit ordinary. The Holy Spirit's always been with us. Make it ordinary. Learn to listen and obey his lead. Allow yourself to be guided by inner peace. Keep checking in with God. Be accountable to others, accountable to each other in this church family. And always ask, what's your motivation for hearing God? And rather than saying, can God really speak to me? Remember that God really can speak to us.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to one of our sermons. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, then follow us on social media or visit our website, www.holminster.org.